And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. Can I take these off? All right. What is this? This looks good. Wow. That's well made. Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations. And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. Can I take these off? All right. What is this? This looks good. Wow. That's well made. Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
It's Morphin time on This Week in Geek.
That was awesome. Actually, can I get that one more time? I forgot to turn my mic down.
Oh, yeah, sure. You ready?
Plus, I just want to make you do it again.
Ah, yeah. That's what they all say. Ready? It's Morphin time on This Week in Geek.
Hey, guys. Double D here, and I've got another exciting interview for all of you for Twig Fan Service. Right now, or in a few minutes, actually, I'll be talking to Johnny Young Bosch. He was the Black Power Ranger in the Power Rangers movie, for those of you who don't know. And he's done a lot of anime voice work. He was Kaneda in the redub of Akira. He's Ichigo in Bleach. A whole bunch of different characters. And he's also got a band called Eyeshine. So check them out on MySpace. And yeah, it was awesome interview, so stay tuned. What major events in your life have led to where you are right now in terms of acting and performing?
Quite a few different things, I guess. The first thing would be studying martial arts. That's where I first gained my confidence as a martial artist to, seek out maybe becoming like an action star or working in films as a martial artist or something like that. And then, you know, after I got Power Rangers, everything else has all been an accident and just kind of fell into everything else, really.
So what do you mean by fall into? Like, is there any specific stories with how you got into voice acting and all the other things you're doing now?
I guess after Power Rangers, I did a live-action film where all the audio was screwed up and I had to redub over my stuff. And as I was doing that, the producer told me that I had a decent hero voice, and then he wanted me to come in and audition for this animation, which was Trigun, which was my first voice acting gig. If he didn't screw up that audio in that film, then, you know, I never would have had that opportunity.
So it was audition. Kind of a mistake that led to kind of an entire career.
Led to a new career, as far as voice acting,
Of all your roles, which one would you feel most attached to? And why?
Gosh, that's tough. I think there's a little bit of me in each character that I play, but I think the closest I can think of would be Nero in Devil May Cry 4, because that was really the only time that I got to really do mostly what I wanted to do as far as a character and developing the character. Because when you do animation, especially anime, the characters are already drawn. Their emotions are already drawn, so you got to do whatever you see on the screen. If he's crying, you make him cry. But with the game, I got to create all the emotions from scratch, or at least from the script, and act it out. And that, just to me, that was more, I guess, more of myself.
How did you feel when you first broke into this industry? Was it kind of an intimidating thing, or?
I didn't even know it was a thing. I knew that there were voice actors, but I didn't know it was something you can actually get into. It wasn't something I thought of, you know, I really didn't. I was more like, I just wanted to act or do action films and that kind of thing. And I was really just kind of single-minded as far as that. And doing the Trigun really opened my eyes to a whole new world of acting. And it was so much more than Power Rangers, too, you know? I mean, Power Rangers, it was really stale. It's, you know, a kid's show, so it's all fairly simple and wasn't much to it. But with Trigun and, you know, Akira and some of those other shows, they're a lot deeper and darker characters and stories, so it was much more fun. And well, I was able to I guess dive into more emotional things as far as an actor.
Now with Akira, that was actually like a redub of something that was already dubbed in 1989, I think.
That's correct.
Did you feel intimidated at all that you had to do like a better performance than Cam Clark did in 1989, or did you actually watch the original dub before you did yours?
I owned a copy of the VHS. It was one of the first things that I had seen that I knew was called anime. At least that was the first time I really heard it being called anime. Before all that, I think it was all people were always calling it Japanimation or whatever, you know. That was the first thing that I saw, and it was just so interesting and so confusing at the same time. But it was so unique because I was so used to, you know, Tom and Jerry and Popeye. I don't know if I was really intimidated. I was more just kind of excited to get something that was substantial, I guess, or something that seemed important. I wasn't really afraid. I felt like I fit the character whenever I had watched it before. I can really kind of relate to the character's emotions and who he was. So I wasn't really too scared about it. I'm just glad people did enjoy it.
What part of voice acting would you consider the most gratifying for you personally?
Usually the more emotional parts of a character, with like Nero, I guess, you know, the moments where he's either, you know, crying or getting, you know, really angry, or where he's really trying to save the one he loves and that kind of stuff. You know, anything that's really kind of more emotional is much more satisfying. It's just much more fun to play than, you know, a character that's really kind of stale and says the same things over and over. You know, a lot of screaming and fighting is always fun, too.
How has the whole anime voice dubbing industry changed since you started, and where do you see it going in the future?
You know, I haven't been doing as much anime as I was in the past. It seemed like that was all I was doing. Now I've been doing more games and stuff. And it seems like, and I'm assuming because all the kids are downloading it from the internet and not really buying the anime, that, well, I know that the Japanese companies and the companies that are here aren't making as much money off of it. And, you know, that is affecting it, obviously. And so they're kind of going to places to get it dubbed cheaper, and it sacrifices the show sometimes. I really don't know what's going to happen. You know, it may just be that I've done too much already. But I really don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of all up to the fans, and something's got to change. Hopefully people start actually supporting the shows that they like.
Yeah, definitely. Could you tell us a little bit about your involvement in the Power Rangers and how you feel about the whole cultural impact this show has had in North America?
How do I feel about Power Rangers?
I think it's really cool, but
gosh, it's kind of like thinking about, you know, high school. It's something that I feel like I had to go through in order to get where I'm at. And at the same time, I had a good time there, but, you know, I also had issues. But for the most part, I just had a great time with it. The weird thing is seeing kids now, well, they're not even kids anymore, you know, they're like 20 something and that have watched the show, and they tell me that they're big fans of the show. And I'm like, wow, you're about as old as me. To really see that a show like that had an effect on people is kind of interesting and pretty cool. I think in some ways the Power Rangers kind of opened the doors for a lot of, I guess, shows like that, you know, and we'll be hopefully seeing more of that kind of thing.
Were you disappointed at all when you found out that you were the frog in the movie?
No, it was, the script read, you know, like each character got their animal and each animal had some specialty. And in the script, my character was a frog. And the description that she gave for the frog was something kind of weird. It was like speed or something like that. And then when I read that, I was like, well, how's a frog fast? That doesn't make any sense, does it? And earlier on in the script, and we had even shot some stuff where my character was developing speed, and he was, you know, able to catch flies or whatever and shoot them with his gun or whatever. But that was, I guess, too violent, and so they couldn't do that kind of thing. And so they were just going to leave it in there as in, you know, they just say, hey, you're fast or whatever it is. And it just seemed kind of weird. Like, when I think of, you know, speed, I don't think of a frog. You know, I think maybe of a cheetah or something like that. So I just thought, what a weird animal. Everybody else gets something cool. He gets a wolf. You know, Tommy gets a falcon, you know, the winged lord of the sky, and I get a frog. And so I just asked the director if maybe I can play it, a little bummed out about it. And he said, well, we'll give it a shot. We'll try one like that. And they liked it, and, you know, they kept it in there. And so it was just kind of an ad lib, but it worked. The second film, when we were all getting these cars, You know, Tommy got the race car and the kid got, you know, the monster truck and everybody's getting really cool cars. And I got, you know, a green minivan. I thought this would be great if I could be bummed about getting the green minivan. Who the hell wants a green minivan? But producer that time didn't agree. So
that's too bad.
Yeah.
It seems very similar to the frog you got in the first movie.
Totally. Yeah. I think it was also the crotch. I've always been the crotch, I guess, in the Megazord.
Yeah, I never noticed that before, actually. That's true. Yeah. That's weird.
It is weird.
When I grew up, I always liked the frog the most, though. Whenever I watched the movie, I was like...
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
You shouldn't go to Barnes & Noble and buy 10,000 books just so you can build a book fortress and yell out, "I am your book leader." You shouldn't buy 147 copies of War and Peace, stuff them inside turkeys, and serve them at Thanksgiving as turbookins. And you definitely shouldn't buy up all the copies of Dork Diaries, causing the neighborhood kids to stage a protest in your front yard. But you could, because at the Barnes & Noble Book Haul, you can get over 1,000 titles for 50% off. Stock up at your local Barnes & Noble. Turbookins are fictitious and should not be cooked at home.
That's so cool, because all the other animals are just normal, like you always see wolves and eagles and stuff, but you never see someone change into a frog, so I was like, well, that's so awesome.
That's cool.
But anyways, you're working right now on a film called Stray, is that correct?
Yeah, well, Stray is in, like, it's lost in post-production at the moment. There's a lot of audio issues and things like that are kind of going through the tweaks. But it's going to be a while. I don't know what's going to happen really with that. Broken Path, on the other hand, is done. I thought that it was going to be out, you know, September, but I really don't know what the producers are doing with that. I also finished a film called Hellbinders, which I think they're wrapping up all the post-production now as well. You can check it out, hellbinders.com, and then, you know, see if it's interesting or not.
Yeah, I'll definitely check that out after this. Is there an expected release date for Stray?
What was that?
Is there a release date for Stray yet?
No. Yeah. There's only a hope that it will get finished. And that's about it at this point, you know. As far as being shot, everything was shot, but and it's been edited, but there was a lot of audio issues, so I don't really know. We had at one point thought, well, maybe we would just animate the whole thing and rotoscope it or something, you know, and give it some weird look to it, and that way we can just replace all the audio, because half the people are gone now. We don't know where they are, and so we're not really sure what we're going to do as far as that.
That's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that's all part of the business, I guess.
Can you give us a little teaser about what that's going to be about at all? Like a little synopsis or anything?
No, at this point, because I really stopped thinking about it. I started working more towards my band's, you know, stuff, and kind of like, let that sit on the back burner because I don't really know what I'm going to do with it. It's about revenge, though, I guess.
So speaking of your band, what are your plans for that in the future?
More music. We had released Red Stripes, White Lights back in April, and we've finished up all the recording for Paper Kingdom. We just have to do the vocals. We're trying to have that done by the end of this year, as well as an acoustic album. But yeah, hopefully we'll have something up here in the next couple months.
Are you planning any tours at all?
I don't know. You know, I mean, we keep getting invited to these conventions. I mean, not just for the band, but obviously because of, you know, the anime and Power Rangers. But, you know, it's a great outlet for us. And so we're kind of doing that. And it's better that way, too, because, you know, a lot of the conventions, they kind of pave our way as far as flight and everything. And we can go and put on a little show for the attendees. Whereas if we were to rent a bus, it would cost quite a bit more. You know, there's no guaranteed audience.
Do you have any weird or funny convention stories?
Convention stories?
Yeah, anything weird that happened while you were there?
I mean, this isn't really convention related, but I guess it's kind of weird. But some guy on MySpace, I didn't even know. He wrote to me and asked if I would pick him up at the airport to, I guess, take him to a convention. But I didn't even know the guy, so it was kind of weird. That's not really that interesting, though, is it?
It's kind of awkward.
Yeah. Well, then you know, I was like, well, no, you know, and he's like, I'll pay you. And I was like, well, that's what taxis are for, you know. And then I can't remember if it was the same guy or if it was somebody else, but somebody had asked if they can come live with me. Again, somebody I didn't know, and they wanted me to, you know, get them a job or something like that in the business or whatever. And very odd, you know. It's not exactly how it works, I guess. Or at least that's not how it worked for me.
So you've had a lot of people trying to leech off of you, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, that's to be expected. But then, it's not all like that. I mean, you get people like that, but you know, a lot of people are actually more, they're kind of supportive and things like that. So you get a handful of strange ones, but it's not really that bad.
What aspect of your career would you consider the most important to you personally? The acting, the martial arts, the music, or something different?
As far as my career, you know, the music for me is pretty important for me, and it's and I guess I cherish it a bit more because it's something that, you know, is original, and it's something that I've created, of course, with the band. You know, I write the songs and everything, and it's not somebody else's work, and it's all really kind of what I feel emotionally and mentally and spiritually, and it's just a good release for me. Hang on a second. Hey, you're making a lot of noise back there. All right, sorry about that.
What's going on?
Well, I have a couple pet rats, and the wife is getting out their food to feed them.
Oh, yeah. That is kind of weird.
People don't understand. Rats are actually very intelligent. We had a hamster. We had a couple hamsters. We got one, and it pooped on itself and died. And so we got a couple more that were like really tiny dwarf ones, and we're like, oh, they're so cute. And they pooped on themselves and died. And so we're like, what is up? These hamsters are stupid. And so we were going to the pet store and thinking, well, maybe we'll look at maybe getting another one. And the lady there was like, oh, you should get a rat. They're so smart. But, you know, we were like, ah, the tail's kind of gross. No, thanks. But then eventually we looked it up and we're like, oh, yeah, everybody's saying they're so smart. And so we ended up getting a couple. And they're really smart. They really are. They're like cats, only not as stuck up. You know, they actually want to play with you and hang out with you. And they're kind of, I guess, in between a dog and a cat. But when you're, you know, tired of playing with them, you throw them in a cage, you know.
I didn't know that about rats at all.
Nobody does. And, you know, and when people, you know, when I tell people that, yeah, I got these great rats or whatever, and they, you know, they know their names and you call them, they'll come to you. And people are like, dude, you're freaking weird and dirty or something. So it's kind of weird. I don't like talking about it. No, they're actually really cool. They don't poop on there. They're actually clean. Hamsters are really stupid. You know, we had a couple of them. They would poop in their wheel and run in it, you know. And I was like, what are you doing? I can't even pick you up. You smell like poo. But the rats, you know, they just clean themselves all day.
Yeah, I used to have a pet gerbil, actually. And it was kind of nice at first, but then it got really vicious towards the end of its life.
Gerbil?
Yeah, I don't know how smart it was. It just got really angry. Well, like, you couldn't really touch it or anything.
Could you pick it up at all, ever? And
no, we just basically left it in the cage.
See, a rat you could actually pick up and pet and stuff like that. I guess unless it was tortured or something. But anyhow, enough of the rat stuff.
Enough about our pets.
Yeah.
Something really obscure that I found out about on your IMDb page is that you directed a Cheer-a-size video. What the heck is Cheer-a-size, and how did that happen?
This guy was doing this, it was like an exercise video, and with a bunch of cheerleaders from, you know, like Lakers and whatever. Well, not a bunch, but like a couple here and there that were professional cheerleaders. And he wanted a director, and, you know, I showed him my reel, and he was like, hey, it looks great. And then so I shot a few of the things. He wanted to cram in quite a bit more than, you know, than you can actually do. And then things kind of fell apart while we were shooting. But, you know, we finished it and shot it. And so it's like it's an exercise video, but with cheerleaders. I think it's mostly for, I guess, people that like cheerleaders and exercise.
Or just horny college students like me, maybe.
Yeah, you should probably check it out. Yeah, I'm not actually in it, though. I don't think you actually see me at all, ever, unless there's, like, some photos in there or whatever. And you'll probably see more of the stuff that I got to do. It really was, there's, like, these little, I don't know what they're called now, but little routines that they did. And so you'll kind of see my little editing touch where it's kind of got this weird look to it, but then the rest of it's just kind of whatever, regular. But, yeah, so I directed that for the most part. I shot some of it.
Have you ever considered, like, your own maybe martial arts exercise video or something like that?
I thought about it, but, you know, that's not really what I want to do, I guess. Sure, it might be, like, a way for someone to make a quick buck, but, you know, that's not really what I want to do.
Maybe you can assemble all the Power Rangers and, like, get back in your suits or something and make a video that way. I don't know.
It'd be it's really an idea. Cool if we all would fit back in our suits, but I think it'd be quite embarrassing at this point. When I went back, I did, I went to New Zealand, I don't know, a few months ago or whatever, to do that Overdrive, the 15th anniversary thing. And, I mean, it wasn't the same suit, you know, but it felt a little tight on me. So I think I'd have to pass on something like that.
Now, is that because of fat or muscle?
I would say muscle.
Okay.
Muscle. That's a good answer. The fat's all around my head.
One last really weird question, just for fun. If you could be any household appliance, what would you be and why?
That is a weird question. That's a really good question. Let's see. It would be a toaster, because I like toast.
Because you like to heat it up, maybe?
That works, too. I like toast, and I like to heat it up. And if you mess with me, I'll burn your Pop-Tarts.
Hey, guys. I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I enjoyed talking to Johnny. It was kind of weird when we talked about rats at one point, but, you know, sometimes interviews swing in a direction you don't expect them to go. But that's always cool. It keeps things interesting. But, yeah, that was awesome to talk to him. He was totally cool, and who knows, maybe we'll get to talk to him again in the future at some point, do a, kind of a catch-up show or something. But until then, thanks for listening, I'll see you later, and that's Mr. Dennis to you, punk! Oh, I totally forgot, I should get one as the Black Power Ranger.
Oh.
You should all right. Mention the whole frog thing.
Oh, all right. But wait a minute. But then maybe you should say, Adam, what's wrong? And then I can be like, I'm a frog. And then you can be like, yeah, like the one you kissed to get a handsome prince. Because that's the actual line from the movie. You want to do it that way, or is that going to be kind of weird?
Oh, that's fine.
All right, let's give it a shot. Playing.
Adam, what's wrong?
I'm a frog.
What, like the one you kiss to get a prince?
Yeah, something like that. I could yell, it's morphin' time. Maybe that would work better.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.